Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Good morning. Is my mic on? All right. Hey, this is Stu. You're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Mike is out this week, but I am here. Mike is game planning New Year's. You can't just start drinking New Year's Eve. You got to build that resistance up so that you can really party hard. So,
yes.
Mike will be out today, and we will get back with him whenever he's done with New Year's. But Leanna is in the studio with me, and Phil's in here screening calls, so we're going to have a good little day, I think. How was your Christmas, Leanna?
It was wonderful.
Same here.
For the first time, made Christmas dinner.
Ooh,
fancy. And I was very proud of myself. The kids ate it. I mean, that's always a good thing, right?
Right.
So, what about y'all?
Great Christmas. We spent Christmas Eve with my family, and we spent Christmas Day with her family.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, I didn't have to cook.
Nice.
I did, but I didn't have to. In fact, was it Wednesday night, I guess? Heather had gone on to bed early, and I just was like, I need to cook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I got up and made some bison chili with black beans.
Oh, nice.
And my brother had got me, what is this new produce box that's very popular, the Misfit?
Like HelloFresh?
No, it's nothing like, no, it's, they use fruits and vegetables that grocery stores won't sell because they're
okay.
Ugly. They're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But they won't sell them. He got me that big box, it's like Misfit Market, I believe. And I went through it and culled all the tomatoes and the peppers from it, went ahead and roasted them the night before I made
Ooh.
The chili,
uh-huh.
So I wasn't using any canned sauce.
Nice.
And had 2 pounds of ground bison, and that went extremely well. Everyone has enjoyed the chili. And I also made some lima bean and ham soup for
Ooh.
These cold weathers.
Yes, I love that.
And that's pretty much all I did. was, I cooked that little bit, and that was all I had to cook.
Yeah. Well, we made ham, and, of course, I put the ham bone up for black-eyed peas.
Right.
We're gonna eat lots of black-eyed peas this year, you know, because we need all the luck we can get.
Well, you need to talk to Bill Finch
mm-hmm.
about his thoughts on black-eyed peas on his show. Because he enlightened Mike and I to something. Every black-eyed pea you've ever eaten in your life, unless you grew it or you knew the person who grew it, was grown in California. It's not a southern.
I've heard that.
Yeah, they're not from the South. They never were grown in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't mean they're not delicious. But he said before grocery stores came along in the 50s, the supermarket concept, no one ate black-eyed peas but people in California for the most part. For the most part.
Yeah.
And here, it would be Crowder peas.
Right.
Yeah, or field peas, or any of the peas that we grow here. Purple Hull.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not black-eyed peas. That's not part of the tradition. It's peas. Just any pea. It's just like greens. It's
right.
It's not collard greens. It's any green. Spinach qualifies.
But black-eyed peas are my favorite.
Right, right. and they are most people's. And we've been doing it so long that most people have just come to associate black-eyed peas with New Year's. So if you like black-eyed peas, go ahead and eat them. I'm just saying, if you're trying to be historically accurate, don't do black-eyed peas.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about history, but I do love me some black-eyed peas. I mean, out of everything, I think my favorite thing on the plate is the beans.
Mm-hmm.
I love peas. I love lima beans. I could really tear up a big bowl of 15 bean soup. Texas caviar. I mean, any way I can get
redneck
beans.
Caviar, thank you. Redneck caviar.
I just say that because I eat it in Texas.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the first time I'd heard of it was supposedly from Alabama, but I was living in Tennessee at the time, and they called it Alabama caviar. And then when other states started doing it, changed to redneck caviar. Or let's say someone in Alabama was claiming to have made it first. But that doesn't mean anything. I mean, the Library of Congress says that Louis Lunch in New Haven, Connecticut, made the first ever hamburger. But there are reports of hamburgers being served before then.
Right.
But they're not as well documented as Louis Lunch. So there's really no telling. And I feel it's hard to believe that before 1880, no one had thought to take some ground beef and put it between two pieces of bread. So
yeah.
it's a lot of that going on.
Do you have any other things you do during New Year's for a lot?
I don't pay attention to any of the luck stuff because I have tried it. It makes no difference at all. If you have money in your pocket at midnight, you're not going to have any more money during the year than if you were broke at midnight. I've tried it both ways. I'm broke every year.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you do. I'm not a big believer in luck as far as just, maybe I win the lottery.
Yeah.
You know, that is happenstance, but I don't think you can improve it. What you can do to improve luck, and sports is a great analogy. People have always said Alabama is very lucky. Auburn, very lucky. Luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just be lucky like Alabama has without being darn good first.
Right.
Yeah, without putting in the work and the practice. So I don't think what you eat one day a year is going to have any bearing whatsoever on happenstance. But it is fun to do.
Right.
And it is the symbolism. The green separates folding money.
Mm-hmm.
The peas represent change. And I forget what the pork represents.
And then you have the cornbread as the gold.
Ah, had not heard that. Most outside of the Southeast, you're not going to see any cornbread on New Year's. Of course.
Oh, I love having cornbread too.
Oh, but then you can't eat peas without cornbread. It's just a perfect pairing.
Yeah,
just like with collards or any kind of greens. But you don't see a lot of it outside of the Southeast.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't think you see a lot of this luck meal outside of the Southeast either.
Probably not.
I think it's more regional. When I was in Nashville, there were a lot of people that never heard of it.
Really?
Yeah. And speaking of Nashville, I spent most of the 90s. In Nashville. I've always considered it my second home. And honestly, if you talk about a city that fits my personality, then Nashville's my home over Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile is my home because I grew up here. I live here now. But my hometown is Nashville because that's what fits my heart. And I woke up to the news Christmas morning about the bombing. Thank goodness, whoever this nut job was, did not want to hurt anyone. They were sending some message that may only be known to them. I follow the investigation as much as I can. I had friends that texted me before I ever saw the news.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of friends in Nashville. And none of them were injured. But it does figure that my buddies who live way out of town in Little Antioch, they're going to be a couple of streets away from where the FBI raided a house. That's just Antioch for you. It's kind of like the Tillman's Corner of Nashville.
Yeah.
And if there's going to be something nefarious, it's probably going to be in Antioch, where I spent most of my years in Nashville. The city has changed so much since I left in 98.
Yeah.
Nashville hot chicken was not a thing even in Nashville when I left in 98. It existed, but it wasn't popular. If you went to Prince's, you knew about it. But if you didn't go to Prince's, you never heard of hot chicken.
Yeah.
And now it is the biggest food sensation in the country right now. Everyone loves it. And if you haven't had it, it's great, but we're already up against a break. 343-0106, or you can check us out on Facebook Live, facebook.com/sipandchew.
Made in LA 708, losing weight without speed, eating sunflower seeds, drinking lots of carrot juice and soaking up a race, but at night I'd have these wonderful dreams, some kind of sensuous treat, not zucchini, fettuccine, bulgur wheat, but a big warm bun.
the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. This is the last show of the year. And I'm here with Leanna. Phil's in there screening the calls. We're going to be joined in the next segment by a wonderful friend of mine, Juliette Hart, who is the co-host of a great new podcast called Down the Hatch. She's going to tell you all about it. We're going to talk about safe ways to celebrate the new year and things that are going on. I think Heather and I have decided we've been gifted with a dinner out at our dinner and drinks at Firehouse Wine Bar, which we're very looking forward to. It's one of our favorite places to hang out. It's right off of Bienville Square down on St. Francis, and it used to be a firehouse. See how that works?
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, and great little wine bar. They have some nice little tapas and stuff like that. And I think that's where we're going to do New Year's Eve. It's certainly looking that way. And then head back to the seclusion of Sims. You know, we're not going to be out at midnight doing any of this. We're going to go before the crowds get out and get it knocked out. And we've got a caller, Marty. Let's bring Marty up and talk about chicken scratch and pig's root. Are we getting that properly, root or foot?
No, they use the nose.
All right, Marty. So what are you using again? What is this? It's chicken scratch?
What you were saying, and you weren't sure about what the pork portion of it was.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The pork portion is that it was the pig, and pigs always root forward. They're looking for whatever it is in what they missed eating before. Chickens always look for something, and they scratch everything back.
Ah, okay. So it's just, thank you very much. I have heard you just got to eat this to get good luck. And no one's ever really expounded on it, so I've done a little bit of that, but I never paid attention to the pork. So thanks for letting me know more. Hey, was Santa Claus good to you?
Yeah, you're welcome. Talk to you later. Bye now.
All right, thanks, Marty. All right, so pigs root forward.
Ah.
So there we go. There is tentatively a new COVID relief bill.
Yeah.
The point of the COVID, we don't do politics on our show except where they enter into our industry, because I don't like Republicans or Democrats, and I don't trust either one of them, so no point in me getting in any of the debates, because I think everyone's wrong. But and I'm sure Monday through Friday this station handles breaking these things down.
Oh yeah.
What I want to talk about is how this applies to the restaurant industry, because quite honestly, other than helping people with their rent and helping the restaurant industry, there doesn't need to be any more COVID relief. Period. But these are the groups that need help, and they need it drastically. So naturally, they didn't help any of those people in this $900 billion relief package. But I'm at the Restaurant News, and they break down what is in the bill for the restaurant industry. Loan forgiveness remains largely the same. For the most part, the way loan forgiveness works in this latest round of PPP funding is roughly the same. So they didn't change anything there. I have a feeling that they, and it says that they have done things to tweak the PPP program so that all the money from it isn't sucked up by the 5 or 10 largest corporations in America who weren't supposed to qualify for it.
Right.
It was supposed to be that you had to have at least 500 employees. And as we found out, there were corporations with tens of thousands of employees who were getting all the money. And it was because there was a loophole, and in all loopholes in a law, you have to understand, Congress writes the loopholes first, and then they fill the bills in around the loopholes. And that's state legislature, that's any law you see with a loophole, the loophole was built first, and then the law was written around it to make sure the loophole works. This one was supposed to max out at 500 employees, now it's down to 300 employees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's half your small business is knocked out there. A small business, by legal definition, is 500 or fewer employees.
Right.
So now they're not even helping all of the small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
They've cut that in about half. Let's see. It's supposed to help the payroll and everything. There are new eligible non-payroll expenses. And this is, I think this is one of the things that has tweaked for the better. Is all the things that you bought on the previous PPP program or any of the benefits that they gave to help you stay afloat, anything you bought with it, you still had to pay taxes on. Well, this time they're forgiving the taxes, as they should have from the beginning, and they're even making it retroactive. So anything you bought in the last round, you can still claim on your taxes and get a tax write-off for it. They weren't letting you get tax write-offs on the new equipment that you purchased before.
Oh.
Yeah. You paid the tax, but you weren't able to write it off like you're supposed to.
Right.
So they've fixed that. Tax deductibility of loans has been clarified. So apparently they made that ambiguous. I think any law that has ambiguity in it, the people who wrote the law should go to jail until the ambiguity is cleared up. Because the purpose of a law is to eradicate all ambiguity.
Yeah.
The purpose of a lawyer is to manipulate ambiguity for their client. So lawyers love ambiguity.
Yeah.
But laws aren't for lawyers, therefore the common people, and common people don't like ambiguity. So get your act together there, folks. Extended and expanded tax credits, which is what I was talking about. But pretty much other than that, not much has changed. They have the 501c nonprofit organizations. If you are also a lobbyist, then you're not entitled to this anymore, because there's no such thing as a nonprofit lobbying group. Every one of them is making a billion, trillion, gazillion dollars off their lobbying. And those of you who don't understand lobbying, it's legalized bribery.
Yeah.
Constitutionally, it's still a crime, but no one's taken it to the Supreme Court yet, so it's still allowed to stand. But it is illegal to lobby. You're still a criminal. A politician who accepts lobbying the gifts with it, you've still violated the law. Just because you wrote a law that protects you from it doesn't mean anything. What we need is one of these billionaires that's out there to go, hey, let's challenge all of these bad things we know are unconstitutional, Supreme Court. But they all benefit from it, so they don't.
Yeah.
So SBA loans temporarily enhanced. That's pretty good if you like, unless you don't like your landlord being the U.S. government, which is understandable if you don't, because look at their track record of running anything, regardless of who's in the White House or in Congress. So that's what you got there. There's not much in this relief to help the restaurant industry. Again, as usual. just keep, we got to help each other is what it comes down to. And we're going to have a doubleheader interview here in a couple of weeks. They're a group of about 10 bartenders locally are getting together and doing a night of comedy while they will all get up on stage and do stand-up.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It sounds fun for everyone but the bartenders, and here's why. I've done a lot in the entertainment field. I performed on television. I performed on stage. I've been an extra in a movie, then the scene got cut, so it didn't matter. I've done a lot in the entertainment field. The hardest thing to do in all of entertainment is stand-up comedy. And it is something I have not attempted because it's tough. Because you are completely at the whim of what that particular group of people in the audience is into that night.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have these folks on to talk about this, because I applaud them. My gosh, being a bartender is hard enough. Now you're going to try and step up there and do the hardest thing in the entertainment industry. They're doing it to raise money for bartenders who don't have any money because they keep shutting the economy down.
Right.
And it's a precarious decision. And I think what history is going to look back on is there's nothing we could have done right, nothing we could have done wrong. Whatever happens was going to happen regardless of what we do. But we're going to have to try, right? We have to try to do things. So that's what we're doing. We're going to keep plugging along. Morning, Bill Stitt. I see you out there, buddy. Love that bacon. So things are going to get tougher in the restaurant industry in about a week. And a lot of the states that produce a lot of the things that restaurants and grocery stores sell are about to start shutting down. There already are. We've talked about it for 3 weeks. There's a nationwide chitlin shortage. Think about that, folks. There's not maybe 1% of the population eats chitlins, and we don't have enough chitlins to feed 1% of the population. Well, granted, they can eat a lot of stuff we do have, but a chitlin shortage? Really?
That is very surprising.
Yeah. Well, if the chitlins are running short, that means the rest of the pig is too.
Yeah. All the other bits.
Right. And the production has slowed down the last month. It's harder for us to get things into the grocery store. Things that we ordered just don't come in. Chicken is almost impossible to get right now. Here's the bright side of that. America does a lot of things great, but we are known worldwide for producing the worst chicken on the planet. That any country you go to, the chicken's going to be better than in America. So if they're importing chicken, jump on it. If it's, you look down there and it says product of Chile or product of Peru, it's going to be better chicken than that stuff that says Tyson on it. It's just, that is a fact that we try and hide in this country, but our food system is messed up. And that's one of the reasons why
should
the way we raise
all
our chickens is terrible.
Acquaintance
just terrible.
Be forgot
we're heading out on break, are we?
Yes.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Juliet Hart, great new podcast, Down the Hatch. She's going to explain everything to you.
Should
okay?
old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne? For old lang syne, my dear, for old lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for old lang.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey, this is Stu. You're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Mike is out this morning, but I have a wonderful guest on the line, and I can't wait for you to meet this lady. I met her and her well-chiseled husband at Mediterranean Sandwich Company a few years ago. They had just moved to town. And
yes.
Hey, Juliet.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, this
good
is...
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Juliet Hart. You're with the new podcast, Down the Hatch.
Oh, I love it. We're having so much fun. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I've been trying to figure out a way to get you or Larry one on for a couple of years.
I know. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you remember that story, though, how we were just sauntering into town. We were looking for a place to eat. It was around the holidays about 3 years ago, and you happened to be there at the Mediterranean Sandwich Co. and, like, showed us the lay of the land, told us what's good, gave us a lesson on Kaneka. Like, it was amazing. And the rest is history.
Yeah, and I just fell in love with y'all as a couple. Y'all, it's aww. As you can tell, Juliet is very outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
Larry is so quiet.
Well, of course. Somebody has
strong, silent
type. I'm working on it. I'm working on that.
You know, let the man be what he is, because I'm sure he uses his voice in his regular job.
Oh, yes, he does, for sure.
Yeah,
for
and, sure, and for, sure. For those of you who don't know, her husband, Larry, is on the coaching staff at South Alabama, football staff. And, hey, if he
well,
won't...
Well, there's been a change, but...
Yeah, there's
we'll,
been a change.
We'll have to get into that.
Right, and just real quick, because you are the wife of a college football coach,
yes,
when we as fans start demanding that a coach be fired, it's important
right.
for us to remember that there are actual families...
Yeah.
involved in
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
And that really struck home for me this year because of meeting
aww.
You and Larry. You know, I was not one of the Auburn fans calling for Gus's firing. I could
yeah.
see where it was a good time and all of that, but mm-hmm. you know, I just there are real people that are affected by this
absolutely,
beyond just
absolutely.
A coach who gets
$21.5 million.
So
there's staff, there's support staff, there's a whole a bunch of people that are affected by a head coaching change and all of that stuff, but
and they don't make seven
we
figures
do know
a
it's
year.
A business. I mean, we understand. We know, you know,
it's
things aren't going
yeah.
well. We're like, yeah, we're not looking good. You know, so we're very aware of the industry and we are aware of the business. So
yeah.
it's a part of it. It's a part of the dance. So as I say to
right.
my friends who have reached out and shown love and all that good stuff. So it's a part of the dance. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot of faces and family yeah. members and extended family members that are affected by coaching changes. And
right.
But, hey, it's a part. Again, it's a part of the dance.
Right.
We know what we're into.
right.
We love it. It's,
yeah.
You know,
I just
want the bad, the ugly, indifferent, all that good stuff. But we still love it. That's why we're here. We're the crazies. of the world.
But
some of us marry into this knowingly and willingly.
Right. But you've got the new podcast now, Down the Hatch. Real quick.
Yeah.
What the heck is this? What's a podcast?
We had
Who
so
knows?
So much fun. I know. I had no idea what in the world we were doing. But I was willing to do it because my partners, Chris and Amanda, are amazing. And we just talk about food and booze. It's basically like the gamut of whatever aligns with food and booze and all things in between, because a lot of times we get off on tangents and rabbit trails galore.
Y'all are a little bit tangential, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're having a good time. We're talking about all things local, foreign and domestic. And yeah, it's been really fun. We're getting a lot of listeners, and I'm honestly, like, truth moment here, I really didn't listen to podcasts. Like, I would overhear my husband listening to, you know, sports podcasts and Skip and Shannon, but not myself personally. But I love it. I understand now what all the rage is about. So
yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, and I could tell you, I've listened to a few episodes so far on the way to work.
Have you? I'm so sorry.
Y'all have a lot of fun.
We do.
And that makes it good listening.
Which is why we need to figure out what in the world we're doing. We're getting adjusted, and we're feeling our way through. But we're having so much fun, and sometimes I feel like we're screaming at the top of our lungs, and I'm a screamer anyway, as you can hear. So clearly, we're trying to make it so that our listeners can feel a part. And our, you know, our reviews say that they do. So I hope that we're getting better.
Yeah, if you go back and listen to the early days of this show, I can remember when we first went on air.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie was our producer at the time, a legend in radio in this town.
He
gives us the go-ahead to start talking. And Mike, who's never done anything in the entertainment industry, leans into the mic and he goes, and Charlie and I's eyes got big. And I thought, oh, heck, we're fixing to have to lock his mic down already. And then, boom, he went in, started talking. And we've never bothered really with a format. We just get on here, and a lot of times we don't even have notes when we walk in here. But I do when I'm solo like I am today, and when I have a guest coming on, I have notes. Yeah. Mike is strictly a seat of the pants kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You're
better that way, I think. I like that, clearly.
So we've got a little structure. In fact, we've got a new segment we're going to start in January that you may be interested in. And Leanna's going to be the beneficiary of it. It's called
Hi, Leanne.
It's called Best of the Worst.
And oh, cool.
Worst is spelled
W-E-R-S-T. I like
Worst is spelled W-E-R-S-T, which is the German word for sausage.
Yes,
and I'm going to have these guys blind taste test three different sausages every week. And then we'll talk about what sausage it was, what maker it was, what was in it, and how it was made.
I'm excited.
A month of sausage.
I know, that's excited. That's exciting. Absolutely.
Well, you
are excited, exciting, done, say less. It's a hit.
Okay. Well, you and your castmates have your fingers on the pulse of Mobile nightlife. What do you think's happening for New Year's Eve? What you got on
tap? Oh gosh. That's the thing. There is no nightlife right now for New Year's Eve. I'm thinking, you know, we've been talking about, like, what do you do? Where do you go out? But you kind of don't, because we're trying to be safe and we're also trying to have a life.
Right.
So we're really talking about being with our COVID bubble, which is clearly the 2020 buzzword. But it's whoever you were already around and whoever, you know, you've been exposed to in general, those are the people that people are, you know, if you're hell-bent on hanging out, you're hanging out with those people. So there's been talks of bonfires, fireplace, you know, small gatherings, making sure that you are, you know, again, with your COVID bubble, but doing like a dinner party or something like that. So my favorite thing is breakfast for dinner. Because, you know, it's you're going into midnight, so you're not going to cook a whole, New Year's Day, you know, the black eyed peas and collard greens. You're not going to do that two heavy meals. So I'm a fan of the breakfast for dinner, so you kind of roll into bed, but you know, you gotta have that breakfast thing. You have the champagne, mimosas, and all that good stuff. But you're with your circle, you know, you're with with the people that you feel safe with, and it's really not an out, you know, going out. You know, we talk about on the podcast, we're always talking about dive bars. We're ripping and running and painting the town pink all the time. But the funny thing is, as an opposition to that, we are actually for New Year's thinking of keeping it chill.
So you're going in for New Year's. Instead of going out for New Year's, you're going in for New Year's.
We're going in. And funny, that was the thing. I don't know. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. All right. See if you agree with me. That was what we were doing kind of before. You know, I talk about it all the time on the podcast. I'm a Southern girl. So we weren't allowed to, like, rip and run the streets because we're afraid of, like, drunk drivers and just, you know, craziness. So you were either in church or you were home with the family. So it kind of really isn't that much of a change for me.
Really. Me either. That's what I used to do.
Yeah, I'm like, it was always a COVID bubble because my mom was like, oh, no, you're not going to be out there, you know, running wild any other day. I could, but usually I'm home with the family or, you know, at a watch night service. We're well behaved on New Year's. Well behaved.
Yeah, I grew up with a deputy sheriff as a father. And
okay, so from you understand.
Yeah, as from the time I could sit on his knee, all I heard was stories about people getting drunk and dying on New Year's Eve.
And the other one was
fireworks. He would give me the statistics of how many people were hurt with fireworks every year when I said, can we get some bottle rockets? And he'd say, no. My dad allowed one firework, sparklers. And it's because every New Year's and every July 4th, he was taking some little baby to a hospital.
Yeah.
Oh, see what I'm saying? So it's safety. When you come from a family that leads with safety and caution, you weren't out, you know, even if any other time you'd be at a bar, you weren't doing that then. So you understand. Exactly. So I'm glad it wasn't just my family.
Yeah, especially
like,
when
party's over. We're hanging together and we're going to be in our jammies and we're going to do the COVID-friendly thing forever.
Especially when he's got 200 or 300 people that work for him that are all trained in surveillance, you just don't get to sneak around much.
Yeah.
But it was also a wonderful feeling, Juliet, when you were out on the road and you broke down and you're like, oh crap, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden blue lights come on behind you.
Yeah.
And your dad
steps
out.
It's the only time your heart doesn't fall into your butt.
Yeah, I ran out of gas on University Boulevard one time making a delivery for Domino's. And I was like, if I can get this one more tip, I can get some gas. And the car ran out. And within 10 seconds, there were blue lights behind me. And I'm like, I can't be speeding. I'm stopped in the dead of the road. And my dad got out and he goes, I thought you weren't delivering tonight.
Wow.
And he took me to get gas, got me going, gave me some money, so I had a full tank of gas. But, you know, there was no lecture or anything. It was just I'm always watching because I love my kids.
Absolutely. It's awesome.
So you and I come from a similar background.
I was like, when you said you wanted to talk New Year's Eve, I'm like, well, I have ideas, but I don't know if I won't be doing them. Right. I'll be with my parents.
Well, Heather and I are going to Firehouse Wine Bar.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Because we were gifted. They're having a little shindig, and we were gifted the shindig.
Sweet. That's more, I mean, there's some safety things and some businesses are doing events that we definitely support.
Right.
But on the personal front, we're keeping it low-key. I have done a few gatherings here and there.
Yeah, and you're good friends with another good friend of mine, and you talked about having some people over and having a dinner party. Weston Simpson does that pretty well, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah. Well, Juliet, we are up against the break. Can you tell us where we can find Down the Hatch? Where can we listen to it?
Oh, yes. We are on all major platforms for a podcast. And we're on social media. You can follow us at Down the Hatch Cast. And, yeah, we're everywhere. You get your podcast. So please tune in.
All right. Juliet, it was a pleasure. You and Larry have a happy New Year, dear.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me. You have a great one.
You too.
Happy New Year.
Good in time. When it's exactly 12 o'clock that night. Welcoming in the new year.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Bam, bam. Bam, bam, bam.
Can't get your own personal advice from Bill during the commercial break.
Oh, I certainly can, have, and will continue to get it and probably screw it up. Hey, Mike Bailey is watching. I guess he's got things underway. I think he's brewing up a batch of moonshine for New Year's.
Oh.
Or something. All right. Where'd I eat? I'm glad you asked, Leanna. yesterday morning, Heather and I woke up. Mm-hmm. After 2 days off together for the Christmas. And she's like, I went and got McDonald's yesterday. I said, well, you know, I'm not going to go get McDonald's. I said, how about biscuits and gravy? She said, ooh, that sounds good. Let me call the Hickory Pit.
Ooh, yes.
Folks, let me let you know now, the full order is too much. Get the half.
Yeah.
Because the full order was two biscuits, open face, slathered in gravy.
Mm.
Heather ate half of hers and said, in the future, half an order will do.
Yes.
And I managed to choke mine down, plus my two patties of sausage. But that's a heck of a breakfast in bed.
Yes.
Homemade biscuits, some sawmill gravy, a couple of sausage patties. Monday night, we didn't eat at Nourish Cafe. Mm-hmm. We went to the home of Nourish Cafe chef and owner, Garrick Ogburn.
Ooh.
Because his wife is Heather's boss, and mm-hmm. it was their office Christmas get-together. It was just Garrick and Allison,
mm-hmm.
Walter and his wife. Walter's the new lawyer they've brought on, and Heather and I, just the six of us. Garrick made Peruvian-style tamales with langoustines.
Oh, wow.
My gosh, it was so good. And especially for you gluten-free vegan weirdos, he made black-eyed pea churros.
Oh.
He softened the dried black-eyed peas, turned it into a dough,
mm-hmm.
and deep fried it. And the texture's spot on. And then he made this wonderful chocolate sauce and this like a preserved plum. And it was just terrific. Had a great night. Richard, one of the bartenders from the Noble South, came over, prepared a special drink just for the six of us. And then hightailed it off to go do the same thing at somebody else's house, I assume. And it was just a great evening. And Garrick's going to be on next Sunday, by the way.
Nice.
He is our go-to, more than likely going to be on next Sunday. He is our go-to every year at New Year's for people who are trying to eat healthier because he runs Nourish Cafe in the YMCA. And everything he cooks is, it's not the fake healthy where they go, hey, this chicken breast, it doesn't have any fat or calories. Yeah, but it's got a ton of hormones and antibiotics in it and doesn't meet the definition of healthy for anyone.
Right.
Garrick's stuff is truly healthy. And if you have special diets, it's great for us. We're going to have him on next Sunday, and we'll talk about the dinner a little more. We went to Bellingrath Gardens last Sunday evening. I'd already purchased the tickets. It was beautiful. For the first time, we went and toured the house.
Oh.
That is a wonderful thing that you only need to do once in your life.
Yeah.
It is $25 to view the home. You're in there about 15 minutes. You get to walk through, see everything that you don't get to touch anything because, you know, it's their home. Leave it alone.
Right.
Absolutely stunning. But like everyone has told me, you'll need to do it again because nothing changes.
Yeah.
But I had always wanted to go in at least once and see it. I don't know why we haven't gone to the porcelain display in the many times that I've been there in the past. But it was cool outside and warm in there. So we walked mm-hmm. in, and that porcelain collection is just stunning.
Oh, yes.
Love the birds. Love the plates. Just had an incredible time. And then afterwards, like, pretty close to some good places down here on this end of the county. Mm-hmm. We ended up at Azteca's.
Yes.
God, it's so good.
Right there in Tillman's Corner.
Yeah. And Heather finally decided to reach over and try a piece of my lingua mm-hmm. in my taco. For those of you who don't know the word, lingua is Spanish. Basically, it means cow tongue because mm-hmm. that's what it is. And she was just like, okay, I'll try it. And her eyes lit up and she went, that just melts like butter when you eat it. She goes, that is some of the best meat I've ever eaten in my life. She's a lingua convert now. she will flat hit up a taco or a torta now if she sees it with lingua on it. And that made me very happy. because I love the stuff.
Yes.
I absolutely do. It's one of my favorite cuts of beef. And people just get this in their head that there are certain parts you should eat and certain parts you shouldn't. And that is childish. You should eat every single part because you just killed this animal. The least you can do is make sure none of it goes to waste.
Yep.
That's
honor
what you,
it and
you owe
eat
that
it all.
To the animal. Hunters know this.
Mm-hmm.
They get it. Our grandparents knew this because if they
right.
didn't, if they didn't eat the snout and the tail, then that's one day you didn't have anything to eat.
Right. That's what my grandmother taught me. She,
yeah.
she used every single bit.
Yeah.
Even if it was just for soup.
From the sniffer to the whiffer. Mm-hmm. Got to eat it all. So that was where I ate this week. And the Bellengrath Gardens, that was just stunning. It's always a beautiful display. The families were out. Everyone was having fun. We took our time. If there was a crowd around us, we'd mm-hmm. find a bench, sit down, and let them move on off, and then continue.
Right.
And we probably sat down about three times, no longer than 2 or 3 minutes, just enough time to relax a little bit, let the crowd thin, and then we'd head back
suck
out
in
there.
The beauty.
Right, and just had the best time. We absolutely had a wonderful nice. Night Sunday night, and that's probably the extent of our going out other than Firehouse. We meet for a meal occasionally when our schedules link up, but most of the time I'm cooking at home right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some things that we've been through, all of us this year, that we need to be thankful for in 2020. So I'd like to make this list. And the number one thing is, how about a technology that has allowed us to shut down a large part of the planet's industry, yet the world keeps on spinning? Amazon, you know what? You may hate Bezos for being a billionaire, but he earned every penny of it, and everyone is able to get groceries and new shoes and everything they need at home because of his innovation.
Right.
And others like him. Technology has made this a very easy quarantine. People in the Spanish flu 100 years ago would look at us and go, you guys are so spoiled.
Yes.
You know, Zoom, your teleconferences mm-hmm. that you have. It's been difficult, folks, but this is easily the easiest that a pandemic's ever been. I mean, this is the lap of luxury.
Delivered.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing that has come from it, super positive, and I hope people learn from it and hold on to it, is more time with your family.
Yes.
That has been one of the best things, and from that stems other things like more time to better ourselves. People are losing weight. They're learning new things, DIY projects. I mean, we're doing a lot of stuff around the house. New doors, new refrigerator, new stove, things that needed to be done. I mean, this house is 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing is reconnecting with the old ways of doing things. People are baking bread now instead of buying it in a loaf with no texture and no flavor.
Yeah.
So those are the things we have to be thankful for that COVID has taught us and we should embrace and hold with us in the future. And until then, everyone, provolone.
As long as you're tipping, it's a place to